heart, and there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me.
Happy New Year. Good place to be. Good crowd. God's been good to us. Let us go through another year and start a new one. And give us the desire to be in church. That's a wonderful thing. I count that as a blessing. I've said a lot of times, I don't go to church because it's my duty, which it is my duty. I go because he gave me a desire to go, Mike. And I'm thankful for that, Al. I really am. I'm thankful for the desire that he gave me. Love every one of you. Got a lot going on tonight. Got to have some special singing. And that will all take care of itself. But if you got a testimony or anything that you need to do, you feel free to do it. We want you to do it. Mind the Lord. And he'll... You obey the Lord, and he knows all about that. He'll take care of you. I wonder if anybody right now would have a testimony before we go any further. Bless you, Phil.
Talk about special singing. We had something this morning.
We did.
And that singer gave me a hug, too, Aaron.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm really proud of her.
Sure.
Proud of Jennifer and the way they're bringing the kids up. Good example of this morning. I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg of what we're going to see. I'm really proud of them. Proud of those kids. Proud of those parents. Most of all.
Yeah.
Proud of this church that allowed them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good start for the new year.
That's right.
Sure is. I could see your head swelling up just a little bit there this morning, Bill. And I'll tell you what. I was proud of these two young men right here this morning. I was. You know, nowadays there's a lot going on that can attract young people. And but boys, I'm proud of you. How are you? You bless my heart. I want you to know that. I just wanted to tell you that. So anybody else? I think we need to go to prayer. We got a lot to pray about. We still got people that's sick, people in the hospital. And I'm going to take prayer requests now. If anybody has any open requests, why, or you want to come up front, now's the time. Else. still remember Wilma Bean. She's been getting along good. I don't seem like she must have had a bad morning this morning. I don't know. I ain't heard no more, but she called Tanya to come in there with her. She was kind of upset, but I hadn't heard nothing since. So pray for her.
And my nephew, his 7-day chemo, inpatient chemo, ended.
Chris, get another song. Let's all gather around.
Delmer Hardy.
Delmer, okay.
Delmer's in the hospital, but he's got fluid on him, and he's got a mass in his stomach. Supposed to do something to the left, but they may do it like
that. Let's all stand and gather around. If you want to shake hands with somebody, do that. If you want to give somebody a hug, do that. And we'll all gather, all at once, to come up front. We'll have our family prayer together.
Page 259, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Donnie Worley, would you open us up in prayer, and everybody wants to come up front?
Thank you.
If I leave this world of sorrow sometime before you do, just look.
Already. Pray for them, church, just as hard as you could pray for them. Something good could happen here tonight. Something good's already happened.
Not so far away. Oh, dear, how's that stay? When life gets you down and you feel more broken than whole, when the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul, I may not know what you're going through and may not can take that high mountain view, but one thing I found that I really want you to know. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the Maker and Giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? And he sees a sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears your tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in His sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it's your greatest joy, or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, it doesn't only matter to you. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master.
Anybody got anything to say? Y'all never know, but I like a lot of singing. I love it. Jimmy, you about ready? Bobby, would you stand and pray for Brother Jimmy as he comes to?
Amen. Good evening. Good place to be tonight. I missed everyone this morning. I was helping out a church that needed a pastor this morning, so I didn't sleep in this morning. I was somewhere preaching, but it was a good service that we had, but it wasn't here. So I miss being here, and I miss the songs that were sung this morning and the preaching this morning. So, but it's been a good place to be tonight. If you've got your Bibles with you, be in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I guess I ought to say Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year. You know, it's the world kind of looks at a new year, and in our minds we think of a change. But really, when you think of it, nothing really has changed since last night. Did anybody's debt from 2016 go away at midnight? Anybody's? Mine didn't. How about if somebody was in trouble, in legal trouble, did their debt go away last night at midnight to where they got a new start? No, it's the same. It's another day. So in our minds, we kind of construct this, you know, clean slate that we do. And but there's only one that can make a complete new change in us, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one that can completely forgive our debts, and that's Jesus Christ. And so it's good to think of a new year and think, well, we, you know, we've got new goals and everything, but you know, we just need to look and see what God has in store for us and what He has in store. So we go to Matthew chapter 10, starting with verse 34. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. Sorry, I didn't give you that verse right there. 34. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, what he's talking about, he's not talking about physically fighting or you know, for us to argue with our family or anything like that. What he's saying is that people within the family, different people are going to have faith in him, and others might not, you know. So he's not saying that he came to cause strife, but that he came and that there were going to be certain believers, and then there were going to be people who didn't believe. But it's up to us to pray for those in our families. It's up to us to pray for those friends of ours that don't follow him, that they would be in one accord with us in following him. And it says, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So I want to focus on these last two, 38 and 39. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. It's kind of confusing what he's trying to say. But I wanted to ask you this evening, you know, when it comes to your faith, are you playing it safe? When it comes to what you believe, are you playing it safe? Are you in self-preservation mode? Because that's something that we can all get into from time to time. And we can get in this self-preservation mode to where when it comes to doing something for the Lord or preserving our lifestyle as it is, we tend to go into self-preservation mode. And that's human. That's human nature. It is our nature to protect ourselves. It is our nature to want to close off. It's our nature to not want to trust. It's our nature to not want to open up to anything. It's our nature to be cynical about things, to be, you know, kind of hard and isolated about things. But when it comes to your faith, are you playing it too safe is what I want to ask tonight, because there's such a thing as self-preservation, and then there's such a thing as soul preservation. And that is choosing that which is good for the soul rather than that which is good for the self. And there's a big difference in that. But when you think of self-preservation, it works. It doesn't work in some instances. You know, if you think about an army, especially in the days when they used to line you up in big lines, like Civil War days, and they'd march you out there in the field, and you stood side by side by other people. And when it came time to fire, you had to stand there and fire. And once you fired a shot, you had to go down on a knee, and the guy behind you was ready to fire, and you were loading. So not the safest place to be in that instance. It wasn't like you were hiding behind a tree or hiding in those places. But what you were doing was you were practicing a form of not self-preservation, but another form of where you were with a team. And what you were doing is you were fighting as a team. You were going as a team. If you went into self-preservation mode, then that mean that you were retreating and you were trying to save your own skin. Now, what would happen to an army if everybody at that time went into self-preservation mode? It would just fall apart, wouldn't it? things would fall apart and people would abandon their post, and things would fall apart quickly. And so it is in our Christian faith that if we don't hold the line, if we don't stand there, if we don't do what it is that God wants us to do, if everybody gets into self-preservation mode and takes off and tries to save their own skin, then things fall apart. And so we need to make sure that we are, as Jesus said, it said, "He who findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." We need to beware of going into self-preservation mode, because self-preservation mode can kill your faith. It's something that can kill your ministry. It's something that can kill your witness as a Christian, because if we go into that, then we aren't sharing the gospel. If we go into that, then we aren't in the place where God needs us to be. If we go into that, then we aren't stepping out in faith to where God wants us to be, but we are where we want to be. And a lot of times God can't use us in those instances. And so I wanted to focus on someone that went through this and that was going through, and he's a prime example of someone who at first was trying to save his life, and he didn't have much of a life. And then later on he began to start to lose that life, and he began to stick his neck out, and he ended up saving his soul being preserved. And the person I'm talking about is Nicodemus. If you got your Bibles, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And all of this about Nicodemus is found in the book of John. But at first, Nicodemus was in self-preservation mode. You see, he was one of the Pharisees. He was one of the high priests. He was one of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin at that time were being taught that they ought to hate Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was an enemy. He wasn't one of them. He was a threat to their very existence. He was a blasphemer. He was a heretic. He was someone that was the enemy of the Pharisees. And so when Jesus Christ came along and was doing the things that he was doing, when he was saying the things that he was saying, teaching what he was teaching, and healing the people that he was healing, it caused a great scare among the church. It caused a great scare among the religious leaders at that time. And so Nicodemus wanted to know a little bit more. And it says in verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And so Nicodemus was put in a position to where he had to choose whether he was going to use self-preservation or whether he was going to go where God was telling him to go. Because even though he was a Pharisee, God was speaking to his heart. And I'm sure, likewise, there were many other Pharisees that God was beginning to speak to at that time. And even though the other rulers were telling them that Jesus was their enemy, even though the high priest was saying that Jesus Christ was a bad person, within their heart, God was telling them something different. And so they were in a dilemma: self-preservation or soul preservation. Are we going to protect ourselves? Are we going to lay low? Or are we going to step out in our faith? And so that's where Nicodemus was. We know that he was in self-preservation mode because why? He wanted to meet Jesus at nighttime on a rooftop where nobody would be able to see him. And so, but why was he there in the first place? Because God was speaking to him and telling him that there was some truth in this man that they called Jesus of Nazareth. So he was in a dilemma. What should he do? And we are in that same dilemma a lot of times. What should we do? Should we take a stand or should we watch our own skin? You know, over in the Middle East, they're going through a real dilemma right now. Read an article the other day that said Christians are the most persecuted people in the world at this time. Christians are the most persecuted. We're the most killed. We're the ones that are the most attacked right now. Now, you say it's not going on in America. Maybe not physically right now, but culturally speaking, Christians are under attack. Culturally speaking and spiritually speaking, Christians are under attack in America. The numbers keep coming out every year that there are less and less people believing in God. There are less and less people putting their faith in God. And that doesn't mean that some of the other religions are going up, But atheism is on the rise. It's on the rise. So we are under attack from these people. So Nicodemus was in that dilemma. But I want to go and skip over to John chapter 7, verse 45. Because I believe that Nicodemus, even though he was wanting to protect himself, he was still seeking the ministry of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 45, "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him?" Talking about Jesus. "The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived?" You can see what he was facing at this time. Because they, you know, are you also deceived by this man? Are you going to be that you know, naive to believe what Jesus has said? And so it was an all-out attack. And it says, "Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him?" Now Nicodemus is standing there listening to this. "Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed on this?" Nicodemus is probably saying, "Well, yeah, I've talked to him. I know what he's about. I know what he's about, and I've seen that. I've examined him. I've examined what he's done, and what he has done is not bad. He hasn't done anything that's bad for us. He hasn't done anything that is against the law that we speak of. Yes, he does things differently. Yes, he is claiming to be the Son of God. But as far as doing anything bad to the people, Nicodemus knew that wasn't the case. And so they said, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." In other words, these ignorant people out here that are following Christ, they're just ignorant. They don't know what he's doing or what they're doing. And it says, "Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" Do you realize how big of a step that was to say to the Pharisees? Here they are. They are beating on this man, Jesus Christ. They are going after him in every sense of the word. They are conforming together and saying, "Hey, nobody is believing. None of the Pharisees are believing on him." And then he steps out and has the gall to say, "Hey, wait a minute. Do we try any man that hasn't done anything wrong without hearing him first?" That was a big thing to do. That was really sticking his neck out. He was going to be exposed for doing that. And so he's coming to that point where he's realizing that he needs to protect his soul rather than protect his body. He needs to go after that which is true rather than that which is going to save his skin. He needs to go after that which seemeth not to be safe than to go after that which is safe. And they answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went into his own house. And so he was rebuked right there in front of everybody for sticking his neck out. But then we go on over to John. I think I lost my place here. We go on over to John at the end. John chapter 19, verse 38. John chapter 19, verse 38. And it says, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being the disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury." And so what we know is that Nicodemus, finally, through all of his dilemma, through all of his struggle, he was able to come and actually seek the body of Christ. He was actually there to bound the body and to put it, wrap it in linens, and to prepare it for burial. Does that sound like someone who is worried about their own skin? I know it said that they did it in secret, but that was a big step to go and to do that. And so Nicodemus, in finding a way to stick his neck out, is finding his salvation. What he is doing is he is finding that the way is not always going to be easy. That the way is not always going to be safe. That the way is not going to always be the comfortable thing to do. But the truth that we follow is where God leads us. You know, I was reading this morning, in my sermon this morning, it talked about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, coming out of bondage. And it said that they didn't go the way that they usually go out of Egypt. They didn't go the way of the Philistines, but that God led them out another way. And what he did was he led them to the ocean. And so we know the story. He parted the Red Sea for them to go across. But that's the way it is when we follow Jesus Christ. He's not going to take you the way that seemeth to be the easiest. He's not going to take you the way that seemeth to be the least resistant. But he's going to send you to places that he knows you're scared to go. He's going to send you places that he knows that you're not comfortable with. That you're not exactly, you know, excited to be there because of fear of what it might mean to you and your lifestyle. He calls us out to go into these places and not the places that we think are comfortable. That's what he means when he says, if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. If you try to lose your life for your sake, you'll save it. When I think of great men in history who have died doing what it is that they are doing, I think of people like Abraham Lincoln. I think of people like Gandhi. I think of people like Martin Luther King. What they were doing is they were seeking the truth. They were seeking a way that was good for them to go. But what they were doing was they were putting their life in danger by doing that. And those are just examples, not from the Bible, but we can look at examples from the Bible of doing the same thing, of people going and going where God would have them go. Think about Moses. He finally escaped out of Egypt, and he was gone, and he had a family. And then God said, I want you to go back. I want you to go back to that place where you're wanted, and I don't want you to go back and fall under there low-key. I don't want you to sneak in and organize an underground resistance. I want you to walk into Egypt, and I want you to go up to the ruler and say, let these people go. How amazing, how brash is that for God to require that of a man? And yet we know that if we just put our faith in him, if we put our trust in him, then he is going to make straight the paths that are before us. He is going to provide the steps that we need as we go along, because he has already made us that way for us to go. And so we don't need to be afraid to go where God wants us to go. I think about Peter all the time. What is it that caused Peter to get out of the boat when Jesus Christ came along? You think it was just curiosity? I don't think it was just curiosity. Do you think it was just a desire to be by his side? Maybe. But I think it was the will of God speaking to him and saying, you know what? You've got to get out of this boat. I think it was the will of God saying, Peter, I know this is where you want to be, but you need to come out and you need to walk on this water. And it must have sounded crazy to Peter, but he was obedient to that. And what it was is that he was taking a step where God wanted him to take a step. And when you do that, you're going to be safe and you're going to be blessed and you're going to be preserved. Because what do you think is more likely to sink, a boat or Jesus Christ? A boat. A boat will sink. If you had a choice on the water, whether you were going to be with the boat or Jesus Christ, which one's going to sink first? The boat's going to sink every time. Think about that. Think about that when you go to worry about what it is that God wants you to do. Is it where you need to be, or are you where you want to be? Because we need to be where God wants us to be, because he has promised that he will take care of us in those situations. Moses, when he went into Egypt, was in the most safe place that he could ever be. Why? Because he was right in the will of God. He was right where God wanted him to be. Now, if he had stayed in the desert, he wouldn't have been so safe, would he? Things could have happened to him. But because he was right there in the will of God, he had a hedge of protection around him that even the sea had to open up so that he could walk across on dry land. So that even the desert had to give food so that he could eat. Even the rocks had to give water so that he could have water. Even there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night so that he could have direction. All of those things were there for Moses and the people because he followed God. And so why is it that we think that God's not going to be where he asks us to be? Why is it do we think that we're taking a risk when God tells us to do a certain thing? It's not a risk at all if God's there. It's the safest bet that we could ever have. The risk is staying where you are in your comfort zone, in your self-preservation. Because many people have perished in their self-preservation mode. What I think about in contrast to Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus found out that if he followed God, that he would be okay. Maybe not physically. You know, they could have taken Nicodemus' life for what he did. Could have stoned him right there. But spiritually, he was saved because he had found the Messiah. Spiritually, he was safe because he had found the way that God wanted him to go. But we need to go in those places that he asks us to go, because it's more safe there than any place that we could ever be. Think about what it is that God's asking you to do. Think about what it is. If you've never known him, then it's the safest step you can take is toward the altar to come and to seek his face and to carry his cross. Because what you're choosing is you're choosing life, and you're choosing it more abundant. And nothing can take that away once you take that step. As we get a song of invitation, we ask you to think of what it is that you need here tonight. If there's a need tonight, we ask you to come. We ask you to put your faith in God, because if God be for us, who could be against us? There is nothing impossible with God. If we choose and seek his face, then there's no way that we can fail, because his will is not going to fail. He will take us where he wants us, and he will provide it. Why would he ask you to do something that he'd already set up for failure? He doesn't. He asks you to do something that he knows is going to succeed, and that you could be right there in that will, doing what he has for you to do. So we get a song of invitation. If you have a need tonight, you come.
I will serve thee because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you. Lives are why you die.
You have given life to me.
Amen. Good spirit.